Thank you, Father God, that you come and reign over our lives again, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll reign in all of my life, Lord. In all of my life, Lord. I felt like there's maybe a bit of a tension in the spirit, a battle in the spirit earlier. And what just came to mind is like the veil that was torn when Christ died at the cross. Open up the door so that we can go into the Holy of Holies. In other words, that we can experience God's presence. And it's as if the enemy comes and he takes a bit of charet raikis and he tries to, with lies, almost to try to wrap that up and to sew that together again, obviously with no effect. And so, Father, we just come again and we just say that veil was torn once and for all, Lord, in all of our lives. Lord, we just come, whatever lies the enemy has tried to sow into lives, to tell people that the veil has not been torn, that the gap is not open, that the door is not open into the Holy of Holies. Whatever the religious lies is, Father God, even over this church, Father God, this congregation, we just come, Lord, spiritually and symbolically, we come and tear that open because it has been done. It's nothing that we're adding, we're just saying, confirming that it has been done. And you come and break the lies, Lord. Dankie, Here, that dit oop is. Elkeen van ons om wat deur Christus in te kan gaan. We thank you for that freedom, Lord. We thank you for that freedom. We thank you, Christ, Jesus Christ, for the perfect price. You don't pay over and over, you paid it once. And it was enough, more than enough, to conquer every single lie, to keep your people out of your presence, God. Every single lie is broken in Jesus' name. Every single lie is broken over this church and the people of this church, especially those not here, Lord. Every lie is broken, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. If there's anybody that's got something on their heart to share, please come and share.
I just want to confirm that I saw these big doors, and the doors were like wide, flung wide open, and this light just shining from it, and Father God standing there, and he's just so excited. He's like, come in, I have so much to give you, I have so much to share with you. And I just had this impression, like, few of us actually enter and go in there and go take what is ours and go enjoy what God wants to give us. So I just want to encourage you and challenge you, go in boldly before the throne of God, because that is for us. And we mustn't lose out because of those lies, because of the circumstances in our lives, or what people say, or what religion says. We must go in to meet with Father God.
Yeah, I just want to connect with what Petri said, and also what Edna said, and also connect with the conference, which is Choose Life. And the scripture at the back that says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before your life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Yeah, and I just want to challenge you with the two extremes in the Bible, Moses and Saul. So Moses said in the desert, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not take us from the place. And Saul, while he was waiting for Samuel to come and minister and to offer to God, he got impatient and he didn't want to wait anymore. So, choose life.
Just a short testimony. Last Monday, I went to the bank, and while on my way to the ATM, I saw this big guy behind me coming towards the bank to maybe deposit his money, and two other guys was following him, and they starting to struggle with each other, and I will come to Nana why. And now continue. And while struggling, some of them pull out a gun, and they shot him right through here, just behind, a few meters away. So much so that I actually fell down and said, what's happening? But without any fear. And then I realized this guy was shot. And I said, everyone was standing around. They say, wow, what happened just now? And even the guy who was shot, he didn't even realize he shot. He got up just in a slow motion, walked away, and then he realized, oh, I was shot, and he went down. And luckily, there was other people because everyone around him was stunned, and they couldn't do anything. And in that moment, I realized how precious is life. It could have been me. But if I'm in a short distance, if you shoot someone, that a bullet can still, and I was in line with this guy. That could have actually hit me in the back or my head, I don't know. But I think the Lord protected me then, because I didn't have any fear whatsoever. And okay, the guys, they got away, the ambulance came, they took the guy to hospital, the police came, and I was continuing what I was doing. Life is very precious. In every area of your life, please let God into it. Doesn't matter where you are, what you do. He is the most important. Because if I feared then, he was afraid then, I could have actually ran away and left my money just there and just, but no, I didn't. And I just thank God that fear didn't overtook me.
A thousand can fall on your side, yet praise God you didn't. You just lay it down. Let them share.
I'm not going to preach, okay? Okay. Just on Friday night, God has instilled something in my heart. He gave me a poem and then sunrise. And then he gave me a description about God's sunrise break in upon us. So Zechariah, John's daddy, well, his mouth was shut. And then when they asked him, what's the boy's name? And then he also wrote on the table, it's John. And everybody was surprised. And then I think after that, it shows surprise, surprise, when he actually got his voice back. And then he sang a song to the Lord. And I just want to bless everybody with this. And just, I think I'm going to shake. Okay. Just to close your eyes, and I just want to sing Zechariah's song, because I know what it is. God didn't shut my mouth, but I shut it myself. I chose to shut my mouth and be passive. And yeah. And I just want to pray this over everybody. Then Zechariah, it's Luke 1 from verse 67 to 79. Then Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets, deliverance from our enemies and every hateful hand. Mercy to our fathers as he remembered to do what he said he'd do. What he swore to our father Abraham, a clean rescue from the enemy camp. So we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live. And you, my children, prophets of the highest will go ahead of the master to prepare his way, present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sin. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. So, Father, I just come to you, Lord Father, and I just want to thank you for your mercy, Lord Father. And, Yalla, Father, that your sunrise will just like shine upon us. And, Yalla, Father, that our light will shine whenever we walk in Sunningdale Table View area, Lord Father, wherever we go, Lord Father, that they will attract to you, Lord Father, and repent from their sin and just give their hearts to you. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Else at this stage. Thanks, God. Bye, dankie, weer eens. as you guys grab your seats. Rosie, I don't want to put you on the spot, but as we were worshiping, I just had a glance over you, and I just clearly saw a lock, a combination lock. And you're trying your best to get the combination right, but you just don't get the numbers figured out. You just don't get the lock open. But I really believe God knows the combination. And He wants you just to give the lock to Him. Jy het hom al gedraai en opgewen, like crazy. Gee dit vir die Here, hy ken die kombinasie vir die slot. Alright, amen. Cool man. Ek het dit op my hart gevoel vir haar. And obviously, whilst we're busy, this is one of, I believe, maybe hundreds and tens of, or hundreds of messages that God through His Spirit just drops in our hearts for each other. And and I know we've already started to deliver them, but I think there's a place of a more even a bigger openness or freedom. You definitely don't need the mic for it, but just to bless each other with what God has been saying. We've been talking about His voice, but that does not obviously mean that it's only you that need to hear from God personally. God made us a body to bless each other. And through prophecy, please do so. So whenever you, and obviously, we're going to learn and we're going to test. And you test every word at the hand of the word and obviously in accountability, etc. But please do bless each other with what God, you might have a life-saving message that God just gives you for somebody else. And it doesn't obviously need to be in church. It can be in the spar. It can be in the pick and pay or the checkers. That's the nice ones. Where you're not sure and you take risk and you feel like you might just lose your life if you share this with the waiter or waitress. And yet God might just flip their lives over. And that's fun. That's a lot of fun. I think I've shared the testimony when I went jogging, so I'm not going to share it again. But a couple of testimonies comes to mind, but it's got nothing to do with the sermon. So let's not go there. Umyuan spoke to me the other day about the fact that I now and again repeat the things that I've said. Praise God, he said it's not that bad, and he actually affirmed it. So I'm going to do it again. I'm not repeating the stuff, but I believe God wants us to build. You can build only that much in 40 minutes. It's almost like a vein suck. What is a vein suck in English? A wineskin. That sometimes we need a new wineskin for new wine. And otherwise, if you put new wine into an old wineskin, that wineskin might burst and we lose it. So God comes in with, and He raises, and He brings in the sun that arises over us. He does something new. He brings Himself as a mist. He increases His presence. Yet He also prepares our hearts. He prepares our wineskins for something new. So that's why I'm repeating. I'm not trying to fill the pages. I'm trying to just run it through that we build on something, that we trust God for a new wineskin, because I believe it's a season for new wine as well. Okay, so a couple of weeks back, we chatted about Mary and Martha, and Martha being very busy and running around and doing stuff, much like us Westerners. And then we had Mary, who went down and obviously sat at Jesus' feet. And she was just totally rocked and blessed. And Jesus said, She chose the good part. She chose the good part. And now we're just unfolding the good part. And obviously, we're not sticking to one or two things. As we go, we believe God is just stirring our hearts for what happens in His presence. What happens when we go into the Holy of Holies? What happens when individuals connect with God and the collective effect that'll have on us as a church, and the effect that will obviously have on our community. Before I go to the next one, I just want to pray quickly. God, I honor You, and I thank You, Father God, that man's faith will never be built on my words, but Your Holy Spirit and power. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and likewise that of us, Lord, as a congregation, may it be acceptable to you, Lord. And lastly, Lord, your word says, and as we prayed earlier today, Lord, that who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Those with pure hearts and clean hands. Jesus, thank you that you came to purify our hearts and circumcise it so that we look different, that we look like little anointed ones and not little ones in the world, and that you can come and clean our hands that is constantly dirty, Lord. I dirty my hands daily, and thank you that you clean them up daily. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. Please lead us today, Lord. There's different keys here for different locks in hearts, Lord. Please unlock, Lord. Please change our lives. Please help us to grow and make us into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, to be like him, to follow him, and to get to know you better. That's it, Lord. And the rest follows, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us with that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. We honor you and we thank you that you help us. Amen. So the one thing of the good part that really stuck to my heart and something that's very dear to me is God's voice. Now, as I've said before, I'm definitely not going to put that in a box. I'm not going to say these nine things, these are the ways that God speaks. I'll be a fool to do so. So we're not going into the semantics of exactly how God speaks, because I believe I treat Frida and I need to speak and discipline and love her in a different way than I do with Sophia. And he's salam with me and Pietri. God just speaks differently. Sometimes it collates, but it's not always the same. God knows, and it's an easy count, God knows the amount of hair on his head. In other words, God also knows his heart. It's maybe a bit more difficult with me, but God knows my heart. And likewise, he'll speak into my heart many a times. So the importance of God's voice, we had a look at the word, and it was quite clear all through the word that God, when you're his children, when you're his people, when you're Israel, or you're part of the patriarch family of Abraham, Noah, etc., God always spoke to his people, and the thing was to hear and to obey. As I've said before, we don't like these days to obey as a kind of there's a rebellious thought that just want to sneak in when you hear and obey. So al van, hoe durf jy, wie is jy met my te praat? So we need to mind that, but we also need to attack that lie and get to a place where we know God is sovereign, but God is good and he's loving and he's a good father. There's an amount of trust, as we said before. In other words, we're able to not only hear, but obey as well. Just after that, we did part two, one that I really loved, and we looked at a scripture that really stirred my heart and said that God's voice produces fruit. Faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing of what? The word, the rhema word of God. In other words, if God speaks to you directly and you hear him, that stirs and that just imparts faith into your heart. Then thirdly, I said it was a combo last week, a fruit and a key. And the one key that God almost drawed us back to is humility. I loved what Pietri said in worship, something that God shared 2 weeks back with him during the week in preparation, is that who's got the last say? And I think I can be challenged by that every single day. Who's got the last say in my life? And I'm not talking about, shall I move to Australia? Shall I become a doctor? Shall I move to Tableview? Even the small little things. Who's got the last say? I recently had a bit of a major fight with our landlords because we had a disagreement over a contractual term and we had a bit of an issue, and I felt they were at fault and they didn't necessarily agree with that. So I could have put the lawyer cap on and go all guns blazing, yet I took it to God and God said, leave it. And that's pretty tough, having to litigate for 7 years and fight contracts and draft them, knowing more or less what I can and would like to do, to go to God and God say, no, the battle is not yours, the battle is mine. And even further, what I just experienced, it's a spiritual battle. One that, Retief, you cannot win. spiritual battles gets won, I believe, in obedience. What happened in the Old Testament? Many a times. At the end, when they'll ask, where's the prophet? Where's the guy that hears from God? Come here. Gaan hoor 'n bietjie wat ons moet doen. And only then upon acting what God said, God came through and supernaturally just won the battle for them. Likewise, I needed to know, and I haven't seen the fruit of that battle won yet in my worldly terms. It might have been my heart. It might have been a place where God just says, Retief, you're my son, bend your knee. It's not about money. There might have been another testimony. I don't know. But who's got the last say? And in humility, I touched on what I believe is also humility. And please do note it's what I think. You may think something else. It's just seeing or acknowledging your true state. Just who you really are. The life, in life, people and the world like stuff puffed up. I am not my car. I am not my degree or my diploma or whatever I got at graduation. I'm not an Afrikaner. I might have stuff and be stuff in the definition of the world, but just hear me out. I'm not an Afrikaner or Afrikaans, or even in a South African first. I'm not wit first. I'm not blank first. I'm not white first. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. So there comes a place where you get tested on your identity. Who are you? And there's a lot of personas and stuff that the world wants us just to put on. You get into a big car and you feel different than you get into a small car. It's just ridiculous. I remember putting on a suit, being a lawyer, people not knowing that I'm working for my own account and I'm not making a cent. I might take R1,000 home this month. But yet when they see you in a suit and they ask you, what do you do? I'm a lawyer. Then all of a sudden everything changes. Unless I take off my tie, I take off my jacket, and I show them my bank statement, then all of a sudden what they think of me is a bit different. Because that's the reality, the latter. So anyway, we've been challenged, or I've been challenged, just to always see myself the way God sees me. And that's, by the way, not negative. You can have what we said last week, is you can have a false humility. We ach nie, Here, toch net die ekkie. Nie, ach, nie die ekkie. Nie vir my nie, Here. Ek kan toch nie vir my. And that's a perverse, inverse type of thing. No, be who you are in Christ. If he says you're a king, then you are a king. If he says you're my son by faith through Christ, that's what you are. You're not a slave. And you're not an orphan. We chatted about another fruit of God, but I'm going to move on. The fruit of life, but you can go read Matthew 4:4. I'm going to go on to today's topic, and we're still at God's voice. It's part four. What's another fruit of God's voice? It's obviously God's will. Who have you ever asked, or just threw the question up in there, I wonder what God's will is for my life? I wonder what God's will is for my life. And that's obviously something I've asked before, and I'm just going to share one or two thoughts, and then we're going to get to the Word. What needs to stick is the Word, not that I think. What I think you should test. What the Word says, you should eat and live by. But as I was preparing this week, I read one or two things, and I just wonder, what is the will of God for my life? Do you think the will of God for your life is a once-off? Is one thing? Wouldn't it be quite easy if I get saved, I get baptized, I get full of the Spirit, I start doing the Christian stuff, and then I wait for God's voice of what I should do with my life. And God just rings me up, or he SMSs me, or he WhatsApps me, or sends me a Facebook message. And he says, Retief, I want you to be a doctor. See you in heaven. And then 40 or 50 or 60 years pass, and I get back to heaven, and he says, well done, you were a doctor. Well done. I don't necessarily think so because I don't see the relationship in that. Let me just put an asterisk to that. It is good to know what your calling is and get affirmation. The Bible is very clear. Be quite adamant at knowing what your calling is. I'm just talking about a fuzzy generalization of what God's will is for my life. And I know, by the way, this is a question on a couple of your hearts as well. So I'm not speaking to anybody. I didn't have anybody in mind when I prepared. Only afterwards I thought, well, we had this discussion. So it's not concerning everybody in particular. It's this stuff that I've worked through myself. What is God's will for my life? Is it a once-off? I asked the Lord the same question this week, and what came to mind, came to heart, then came to mind, is to be God's son. That's God's will for my life, to be God's son. That might include, in a stage of my life, to be a lawyer. That might include, in a stage of my life, to be a pastor, even though the word still is a bit weird at this stage for me. That will include being a husband, being a father, being a prayer warrior, being swak, being aram, being reik. The thing is, that might include a lot of stuff. We'd like to know what the will of God is, and as I said, I believe relationship is at the forefront. I've got one quote here of Henry T. Blackaby that says, if Christians around the world were to suddenly renounce their personal agendas, and I believe this adds into what Wim Johan shared with us earlier, their personal agendas, their life goals and their aspirations, and begin responding in a radical obedience to everything God showed them or said to them, the world would be turned upside down. How do we know? Because that's what the first century Christians did, and the world is still talking about them. Now, I just want to put their personal agendas, their life goals, and their aspirations. There I might have added in brackets, which is not given by God, because God also gives us aspirations and goals. So please just read that in there. But if the personal side of it, if we should lay down our personal stuff, the fleshly stuff, the stuff that we might be running after, and start to walk in a radical obedience to what God is saying, what God's will is, not a once-off, but maybe a day-to-day will, then I believe all of us will be life changers, world changers, as it were. On Monday morning, I prayed, and God just laid on my heart Ephesians 4 and 5, and it's out of 5 that the foundational scripture for today lies. And remember, we're talking about God's voice, and with God's voice comes what we believe. If it's God's voice, God's will. And I think none of us will disagree that we all want to do God's will, because that's predominantly the best for your life. Let's read Ephesians 5. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. We're not going to go into detail of 19 to 21, but we're going to go back up and look at verse 17. That's the one that God rhema'd for me pertaining to the message. So there's two legs. The one is verse 17. We'll get back to the other leg a bit later. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So as Paul is writing here to the Ephesians, and he's just saying, I skittlen into biki wakker. He says, guys, what are you busy with? What are you busy with? What are you doing? Don't be foolish. Time can go by. How quickly does a year go by? How quickly does a day go by? Let's start at the beginning. How quickly does a day go by? Without maybe just thinking, consulting, knowing what God's will is. A month even. For some of us, maybe 6 months or a year or even a decade. The sad thing is, and we might joke about it, but it's not funny at all, because the end of it's quite treacherous, but a lifetime can fly by without knowing God's will. And with love and respect to that particular individual or individuals, what a waste. What a waste. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant fashion, but imagine what they've missed. Imagine what they've missed if a lifetime goes by without knowing God's will. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We're going to jump from this scripture. We're just quickly going to stay to this point of God's will. Because obviously it can be as wide as the sea, but yet for you and me individually, it can differ and it can be very, very specific. I've had times where, like I've joked before, where you've got a couple of bucks left in a season where God took us through that was crazy. So what do you do with 50 rand or whatever if you need to feed your family? And I'll stand and I'll ask, Lord, wil kan ek hierdie weer skoop ja of nee? Holy Spirit? Some people might think, ooh, wasting God's time. How can you pray about Vianas? No, I'm not wasting God's time. I'm getting to know Him. I'm getting to know His character. I'm getting to know His voice. Luckily, He didn't give me a lowdown of what was in the Vianas, but it was His heart towards me. What can we afford? And it sounds simple, but who's got the last say when you want to buy Vianas? Please don't go quote that out there. The people might think we are crazy. Hear the context. Hear the heart. In that moment, I can hear what God's heart is. He actually gives me faith. Yes, take that last couple of bucks and buy 50 rands worth of groceries, whatever. And the next moment, He provides somewhere else. But if you can be faithful in the vanas, He might make you rule over a butchery. I don't know. You get the heart. God's will for me is like, it's better than gold, it's better than diamonds, and it's surely better than money. Sometimes there's conflicting interest in my inner man, and I need to fight that thing, and I need to get to that place of revelation of what Umyan shared this morning, just to get the basics straight, and I realize, well, yeah, God's will, is the best. God's will obviously come through His voice, as we've said. It will come through what? The Word of God. This is his logos work. This is his will for us. I haven't read anything on Vianas yet. So we can hear His voice say for what is written in His word. What we do here obviously needs to go later, be in line with His word for any better words. So we will hear His will through his voice, His word, and obviously His Spirit, His Holy Spirit that is given to us. And I'm going to get to a verse just now. But you might ask me, now, Retief, how do we get to God's will? Because you'll speak to somebody with a bit of a new age angle, and they're like, God, like the lilies spoke to me, man, and like the waves are talking, and the turtles are, they're like talking and stuff to me. Luckily, we've got God's word. And in Romans 12, and you all know this verse, but I love it. And I think we'll be hearing a lot of it. I need to hear a lot of it. Let's rather put it that way. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age. Don't be like the world. The King James says it better. I like the word world in there. But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern, that you may establish, that you may know what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this age. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. These days, with all the health experts, the Pietris running around, people might say to you, you are what you eat. I don't think, or I would like to think I'm not what I eat, for obvious reasons. But I don't think you're necessarily what you are what you eat, but you are what you think. You are what you think. In other words, you are what you believe. You are what you have faith in. That is predominantly who you are. So what do we need to do? Because luckily for me, and I shared our testimony or parts of our testimony this last couple of weeks with regards to God's voice for a reason. But man, if I should take you 5 years back when God moved us out from Cape Town to Malmesbury, just to where my, and I'm obviously not sorted out. There's another thing you shouldn't quote out there. Our pastor says he's not really sorted out up there. But it's a work in progress. But I'm thankful that I'm not, the way I'm thinking now is not the way that I thought of myself, thought of money, thought of work, thought of the world, thought of family, thought of women, with all due respect. Praise God, it's not the same as it is today. But it's been a process. It's been a bit of a process to get out into the wilderness, to get your heart circumcised, to get confronted when you believe a lie. And a loving father obviously does that. God had to rattle my cage a bit, rattle a lot of what I've believed, to make me realize that, man, you might be leaving a lie here and there. What helps with doing that? What is a goeie sif? What is a good way to check your thinking? Is the truth, Jesus Christ. When last have we just ran through the Gospels? And you can just go through this Sermon on the Mount twice weekly and you'll be a different person. If there's a lie stuck in here and you just start off, not only, but you start off with the Gospels, you just run through the Gospels again, man, that lie is not going to stand. It might be a fact up in your head, but the truth can come, like somebody said once before, a bar of soap. That's a fact, that this is a piece of soap. But if you take a steel, that fail. That's a fail in English. A fail? A fail? Okay, well, you know what I'm talking, which is the truth, and you apply it to that, that fact's going to seriously change. Now, if I believe something about money, like Umian shared this morning, if I believe something about sickness, something hurtful about healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, if I believe some sort of lie about being rich and materialism, about a salary being my only source of security, freedom, and life, then this baby, with due respect, will bring all of that into order. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. What did we say, up in Ephesians? Do not be foolish, but know what is the will of God. Let's swiftly move on. 1 John 2, verse 16, and I love this. I still have many things to tell you. No, 1 John 2, bit back. If it's not there, I'll read it. I do apologize, it's not there. 1 John 2, 16, for everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. What did God just say in Romans? Not God, but did God just say through Paul in Romans? Do not be conformed to this world. What is in this world? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What is the lust of, just quickly, the lust of the flesh, obviously, sexual sin, sexual immorality, lusting after flesh. And man, this is quite hectic in our environment. It's quite hectic in this world. Or, well, that's my perception. But that's quite rough. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, begeer met die oog, wanting more and more. And then the pride in one's lifestyle, what we spoke about earlier. Who am I? I am a CEO, or I am an MD, or I am a captain, or I am a vice captain, or I am a class captain, or I am a skulier patrolie captain, or whatever captain. But I'm a captain. Nothing wrong with being a captain. Nothing wrong with being a leader. Nothing wrong with being astute or good at what you do. But the pride in one's lifestyle is something that just does not flow with God's will, does not necessarily flow with his voice for your life. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. In Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24, don't know if I've just put it as a side here, but that is not how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life. I need to constantly check. Have I really took off my former way of life? And much of that is not the fruit that you see. Much of that is in here. Retief, did you take off that former cap you were wearing inside here? That former way of thinking about do. Have you taken that off? You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. So we're a work in progress, praise God. You put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. And then lastly, we go to the one you had up earlier, John 16, please. Sorry, Francisca. Net wanneer reg is. Thanks. Before you think it's becoming a bit heavy, we've got a helper. We've got one that can help us to fight these things that we've just been mentioning. We've got one that can help us to lead us in truth. We've got one that can help us to show us the way, the truth, and the life. One that can help us to say, hey, Retief, waar kom daai stupid gedagte vandaan? Hey, Retief, This thing that you're thinking now, this thing that you're pondering is maybe based on fear, not faith. Praise God for His Holy Spirit. Let's see, John 16, 12 to 14. Jesus is at word, and He's saying to His disciples, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth. I would like to say that in all of God's will, He'll help you pertaining God's will. Why do we say that? Because the answer is in the next sentence. For He will not speak on His own. The Holy Spirit will not speak on His own. The still small voice in our heart will not speak on His own or of His own. But He will speak whatever He hears. Nie soos die buurvrou nie. But He will speak whatever He hears from. From whom? From God. Bless the buurvrou. That was just a stupid joke. Bless her. Pray for her. May she be saved. If not. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify Me because He will take from what is Mine, says Jesus, and declare it to you. Praise God. God wants us to know His will. Romans tells us that we should know by what? Not conforming, but being transformed. To know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And you're thinking, hectic, creative. And then, obviously, Jesus says, don't worry. Yes, rustig. God will give you the Holy Spirit. Maybe just read that one last time. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. That will obviously include, will speak God's will into your life. Are your heart's ears open to the Holy Spirit? Are your heart's eyes open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you? Maybe just as a quick add on. I'm thankful. Let me first say this. I'm reading this book for a second time. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's Radical from David Platt. obviously this is not an ad and I don't get any money for it. I just really like the book. I'm reading it for the second time. And it just challenges me. In fact, it says here, taking back your faith from the American dream. And all he does is he throws the scripture at you. He just says, I'm a megachurch pastor, but my example was a mini church pastor in Jesus Christ, where 12 guys that changed the world. And he's just trying to put these two together. And much of what I think, much of my, I almost want to call it Christianity culture, gets tested by what? Just the word. And likewise, I believe each of us should just maybe ask, Holy Spirit, come and run through my heart. Come and run through my mind what it is that God wants to do. I said here, just in closing, before we get to closing, the renewed mind is calibrated or tuned to hear the voice of God. The renewed mind is tuned in to hear the voice of God through His Holy Spirit. I mentioned them in Ephesians 5 that we had two legs. One is don't be foolish, but understand the will of God. And then secondly, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit now. Obviously, we were building in that direction. Just going to look at what they say about the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5. I'm reading from verse 17. Don't think I put it back up there. But I'll read it. You've heard it before. So don't be foolish, but understand what is the Lord's will. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you've seen it before. But how interesting is it that Paul here puts these two next to each other? Getting drunk with wine, and by the way, as rightly put earlier this week when we discussed it in intercession, it is not drinking wine, it is getting drunk with wine. So another thing you shouldn't go quote out there for those who like a swoopy penitage, it's getting drunk with wine. So it is simple to drink. But it's interesting that Paul here puts the two next to each other, getting drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. How strange is that? I'm not going to share too much of my past, but I've been part of the first party before. The don't get drunk with wine. And what happens at a party? Well, it's picky stiff and swear. And until the guys have had a couple of drinks, guys and ladies have had a couple of drinks, and they'll be singing and hanging on each other and high-fiving and not caring what anybody thinks. They'll be dancing around and freaking out, and they'll be quite loose. Tiana, kom lach jy so lekker achter die camera. Did you see it in the movies? But anyway, they'll have a lot of fun. They'll have a lot of freedom. But as he rightly said, it's reckless. And the next morning, he doesn't say about the next morning or the next month or the next year or where they emotionally, spiritually, and well, might end up literally just dying. Sorry, that might be a bit harsh. But it's not something you play with. But it's interesting how people just become very loose. And as he said, reckless and a bit free in the world's sense when they get drunk. And it's funny, when you look at the fruit he mentions after being filled with the Spirit, it's also quite jolly. And I look at us and I look at worship and I'm thinking, Lord, can we even get a bit more loose? Can we get to a place where Petri comes and grabs me around the neck and says, hey buddy, you like it? Because of the Spirit and not of the Spirit. A place of freedom. When the people have a lot of alcohol, they give themselves over and they lose control. And I think a place where we sometimes struggle with the Spirit and with the Holy Spirit, sorry, I need to be very careful now, with the Holy Spirit is maybe just that. It's that control part. Because it's funny how he puts these two things next to each other. Are we willing to say, Lord, have your way? Am I willing to become as free as Frida and Sophia running around, all the kids running around again? To say, Lord, have your way. And that is in worship, obviously in church, but not here, not only here. To be daily filled with the Spirit. Not saying that the Spirit leaves and comes back. No, He's always there. But you know your tank can be quite empty, or it can be top-notch full of the Holy Spirit. To be filled by the Spirit and then being able to bless the waiter or waitress with that word. A freedom where you say, God, I'm not my own. Obviously, I'm looking at this maybe in a micro type of way, but in your lifestyle as well. Can you come to a place where you say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to say get drunk with that very Spirit, because that might just have a ugly effect in some of our heads. But get filled by the Spirit. We say, God, have your way. Here's a fleshly freedom that's mentioned. And then there's obviously a spiritual freedom in God. Some of us have unfortunately tasted that fleshly freedom. And luckily, by the grace of God, I've also tasted the fruit of that fleshly freedom. And that's death. Spiritual death. Yet when you come to a place where you say, Lord, I cease control. I give my life over to you and your will. Have your Spirit's way. What is the fruit that we'll see in your life? Might it just be that Acts Church type of fruit that we see in the Word and that Mr. Blackaby referred to earlier? And the Spirit of truth will come, and He will, what? He will guide you into all of the truth. I just want to end off by, before we pray, because I believe a lot can be shifted in prayer and should be shifted in prayer. As I said, I don't know if it's a good thing, or I wanted to say, I don't know if it's a good thing for Edna. Liefie, druk gaat toe jou ore. I don't know if it's a good thing for Edna that I'm reading Radical again, but I'm surely very excited. And please, do note, this is subject to the Gospels, because that's more radical. That's like the lemoensap, the uitgedrukte lemoensap, the real deal. I just like the way that this guy approaches it, and I believe it. It kicks a few of the Christian lies that we might be leaving in the teeth. I'm just going to read you a part. He's been speaking about the way Jesus called his disciples. He said something about church growth, and that's not the reason I'm reading the book. But he rightly said that it was almost like Jesus wanted to freak people out sometimes with the stuff he said. Whereas we'll put up posters and we send out flyers and we'll make sure that there's coffee and we'll make sure there's cake. Jesus will come over and he'll say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me. Now imagine that. Imagine freaking people out like that. So he had a different approach than us. And how the one disciple he called, I don't recall his name now, one or two of you might know. But when he said, come and follow me, he said, no, I just want to go bury my father. And he says, no, come follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Imagine how offensive. If your father just passed away, you're planning to follow Christ. And he comes along and says, no, man, let the dead bury the dead. He might not have said it in that way. But if he just says, let the dead bury the dead. Imagine you whip your staart and say, no, thank you very much. I gaan nie vir jou volg. Or he tells you that unless you say goodbye to your family, you can't have a part of him. Or unless you say goodbye to, and you can put in there what you want. Just going to read you one or two paragraphs here that just struck my heart. But we don't want to believe it. We are afraid of what it might mean for our lives. And this can be everything that Jesus said in the Gospels. What are we? Just by the way, we're Christians. What are Christians? Christians are what? Followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus. I hope by God we're not half the amount of people next week. But anyway, let's read it. We are afraid of what we might mean for our lives, so we rationalize these passages away. Jesus wouldn't really tell us not to bury our father or say goodbye to our family. Jesus didn't literally mean to sell all we have and give it to the poor. What Jesus really meant was, and then he says dot, 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 and he goes on by saying, and this is where we need to pause, because we are starting to redefine Christianity. And by the way, this is said in love. No condemnation whatsoever. What are we fighting against? Lies. That's all. And I'm not saying there's lies in your head, but I've had to fight with a couple, so I'm just sharing my testimony then. And this is where we need to pause, because we are starting to redefine Christianity. We are giving in to a dangerous temptation to take the Jesus of the Bible and twist him into a version of Jesus we are more comfortable with. A nice, middle-class American Jesus. Imagine that. A nice, middle-class South African Jesus. A Jesus who doesn't mind materialism and who would never call us to give away everything we have. A Jesus who would not expect us to forsake our closest relationships so that he receives all our affection. A Jesus who is fine with nominal devotion that does not infringe on our comforts, because after all, he loves us just the way we are. A Jesus who wants us to be balanced, who wants us to avoid dangerous extremes, and who, for that matter, wants us to avoid danger altogether. Does anybody know a Jesus that wants us to not risk anything? Praise God. Yeah, thank you, Reis. A Jesus who wants us to be balanced, who wants us to avoid dangerous extremes, and who, for that matter, wants us to avoid danger altogether. A Jesus who brings us comfort and prosperity as we live out our Christian spin on the American dream. Retief, I really want to hear God's voice. I want to know his will for my life. I want to know his will daily. That sometimes might just rock your world. If you do hear, and if you truly know his will. And I say that with respect. And I can say to you why. If 5 years back, when God said, move out to Malmesbury, I would have gotten a glimpse of what we would have gone through, I wouldn't have been able to move. If I knew everything that we would have to go through and where we needed to end up, I would have either stayed put, kept my job, got my white picket fence and whatever I had to do, and not have bothered. It's by his grace that he introduced his will step by step in my life. Or, knowing myself, if he said, Retief, go and pass the shofar congregation in Table View, I would have first thought, but Lord, the thing has come, that is just not part of the plan, Lord. Or I would have tried to come here myself. You would have wondered, who's this guy that tries to push in the whole time? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I giri ambit? Can I do this? I would have been that guy, trying to force myself on everything and trying to do it myself. I would have probably just stayed in Cape Town and not had the guts even to just come here. What is God's will? God's will is good. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans of hope and a future. But Jesus also said another thing. In this world, you will suffer. But take heart, I have overcome. So this is maybe a bit of a heavy, but not as much if you think that God's Spirit will help us and God's grace will take you step by step. I think if we should ask, Lord, quickly open the heavens. Quickly open our minds and our hearts and show us what do you want to do. And I know that there's world changes here. We need to choose and follow. But if God should open our eyes now to see what his plans are for his kingdom, let me put it that way, for his kingdom first, in and through our lives, we might be freaked out. And that's good. That's really good. because that's Christian living. I'm glad he doesn't. But I still want to take that step by step and have his way. I'm going to pray, and I'll try not to get too much of my preaching in the couple of months out of that book. Even worse, or even more hectic, I'll get it out of this one. But just to make the punch a little softer, is God gave us His Spirit and His anointing to do what He's called us to do. Stephen was the first martyr. Now, I don't know if any of you have been called as a martyr. And if you had that revelation, please come and share it with me. I'd like to see your face. But Stephen was stoned, and but he had the peace that surpasses all understanding. He saw Christ in the Spirit, and he could walk that road. Even Jesus Himself asked 3 times if the cup may pass. But praise God, it didn't. We might sometimes be in a position where you say, Lord, hectic, I didn't know I was signing up for this yet. Don't let that cup pass. Jesus didn't let the cup pass. That's why I'm standing here today. Jesus didn't let the cup pass. That's why you guys are sitting here today. Jesus didn't let the cup pass. So that the nations can be brought in. I don't even want to say, yes, Dableview will come in. Lobeck will come in. Malkos will come in. The school will come in. Jesus didn't let the cup pass so that the nations can come in. And my prayer is this, for us as a congregation, whatever it might be, by His grace, by His Spirit, let the cup not pass. Let the cup not pass. Let's do that which we are called for individually and collectively so that the kingdom can come. God's voice is awesome. God's intimacy is awesome. But what you get there, the revelation you get there, the inspiration and the message you get there might rock your world. My question is just, my heart is just, are you willing to year with me? Are you willing to year and obey with me? Because we don't need a lot. Strength is not in numbers. Strength is in God. Strength is in heart. We need a couple of guys just willing to year what God says and obey it. What's God's will for my life? Is it a once off? No, I believe it's walking in the Spirit daily. Being His son daily. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that Christ, thank You that You picked up Your cross. Thank You, Jesus, that You did not let the cup pass. Thank You, Lord, that You did not 5 years or 6 years ago tell me everything, Lord. Because in my weakness, Your strength was made perfect up until today. There's still a couple of seasons ahead. But thank You, Father God, in my weakness, Your strength, Your sovereign love, and Your strength was made perfect. And I thank You for that. Thank You for Your grace of taking us step by step. Thank You, Father God, for Your grace that we all here, we all in this church, Lord, have a massive calling on our lives. Father God, we come and we ask, Lord, that You renew our minds. Holy Spirit, that You'll lead us into all of the truth. Lord, I think I've got it figured out and I don't at all, Lord. So I just come and give my mind to You. If you're just open for that, if you're just merely open for God challenging your thought life, and renewing your mind to bring it in line with that of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. Won't you just mind putting up your hand and we can pray a prayer together of faith. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the hands. And thank you, Lord, you work with our will, Lord. You'll never force it onto us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You didn't make robots. You've got children. So, Lord, we've got a couple of hands, Lord, that just say, Lord, come and renew our minds. Lord, we do not want to be conformed. We don't want to judge the world. We don't want to say we're better than the world because we're not. We don't want to be spiritually pride or arrogant, Father God. That's not the heart. But we want it your way. That's it. Lord, help us not to be conformed to this world, but transform us, God. Transform us, Holy Spirit, by the renewing of our minds. Help us to think the way you intended it from the beginning. Help us to think full of faith. Help us to think biblically. Help us to think full of the Bible. Help us to think full of love, full of Christ, Lord. Lord, we lift up our hands and say, Jesus, we cannot do it on our own. Holy Spirit, we need your help. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, Lord. Whoever wants to just trust God to fill you afresh with His Spirit, just raise your hands and we trust that God will just fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. Lord, your word also says you have not because you ask not, and we ask. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh. Come and fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. Enable us afresh to walk the road, albeit down in the valley or up in the mountain, wherever we are at the moment. Come and fill us afresh so that we can walk the road that God has set out for us. And thank you, Father God, that we want to know your will. And we want to hear your voice, Lord, as a congregation and as individuals. Please take us in and please share your heart with us, Lord. Is there anybody that's got a word of the Lord now on their heart? Something that God has dropped, maybe dropped on their heart to share.
I think it was last year, the end of the year, I don't know when. When specifically, but Niku, I don't know, I think we prayed together or when it was. I can't remember specifically, but I know that Niku prayed over me and he actually was blessing me and he just said, well, God really wants to take me from, wants to build on what God did last year. And last year wasn't very nice. and I did not receive that. I literally said, God, I did not want that. And it took me, I promise, like, and I could see, like, in that moment when I said it, it was, okay, God, I don't want it. And then the rest of this year, well, especially in the beginning, I could just see the fruit of that not standing in faith, of that God will give me the strength to actually to be able to handle what He has given me, to be able to my portion. He will give me the faith to, and it took me at least half, the first half of this year, just to get back to that place of repenting, and just saying, God, I'm sorry for denying Your goodness in my life, for acting out of a place of fear, acting out of because of the hurt that I received. I didn't think God was good in that sense to be able to build on that. So it's just in line with what just came up today when Retief shared his message, is allow God to let his will be in your life. Because if you don't, it leads to death. That's the truth of the matter is, if only God's will produces life, our own will does not produce life.